Final hour here on the team at 980 on a Wednesday. It's the Hoffman Show. And we've kind of been doing a little bit of everything today. We've had some hoops. We have had some football. Tom McShay joined us earlier. We talked, and Cowboys and the trade with George Pickens. And that's meant we haven't yet gotten to what happened to Capital One Arena last night. But it is time to do that now. Capitals lose game one against the Carolina Hurricanes. And joining us to talk about it is Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Greg, welcome back to the show, man.
It's my pleasure. I could see why you waited. It wasn't a happy time last night at Capital One Arena.
No, I mean, I guess if we wanted to mirror the game, we could have, started off with it, been like, oh, it went great, and then just ignored everything else that happened. the shot total last night, Greg, was 90-33. And look, we have guys like you on because I'm just not a big hockey guy. It's not something we do a ton on this show. Obviously, it's a huge deal with the Caps being where they are in the playoffs, and certainly no other local team in the playoffs to talk about. So we try to have smart people on to help, one, feed an audience that's hungry for hockey content, and two, to try to make me not sound totally inept in talking about it. But is it fair to say that 90-33 in shots is bad, Greg?
It's not great. But it's kind of expected. I think Dylan Strome nodded at it last night to say that they sort of like deferred to the Hurricanes and the way the Hurricanes like to play a little bit too much. And I think that's accurate. Carolina is a team that is a high shot volume team. They are usually at the top of the league in the metrics that indicate puck possession shot attempts, like last night. And so you know what you're getting from them. No matter what you try to do, they're going to have the puck, they're going to shoot the puck, and it's contingent on you to try to limit those chances and block the shots. And for the most part, the Capitals did a good job of that last night. The disturbing part for Washington, obviously, is that the limitations on their chances last night, and that's really where I think a lot of the focus was from the players and from Coach Spencer Carberry last night, was an inability to get to their game, an inability to create zone time, an inability to get their chances, and you simply have to be able to counterpunch against that Carolina team.
So is it a matter of possessing the puck, holding it more? Is it just, hey, when we get our shots, we got to convert at a higher rate? Like, what is it that teams that are able to fight with Carolina stylistically and take away some of their fangs with what they do so well? What's the good strategy? Or perhaps the better question, Greg, would be, like, what's the best strategy for Washington given their personnel and what they want to do?
It's breaking the puck out. It's finding ways around that forecheck that Carolina is so good at implementing. And that's one of the things that the Capitals stressed last night. It's just that you've got to be able to alleviate the pressure in your own zone, and you've got to be able to transition and get scoring chances the other way. And they really struggled with that in game one. And, there's no like great mystery to what Carolina does. It's just a matter of whether you can execute your game and not allow them to kind of dictate terms to you in the way that they did in game one. So there are ways around it. The Hurricanes are not an unbeatable team. And in fact, I think, the physicality that the Cavs had in that game last night was a positive. You'd like to have the puck more, so you're not hitting guys with the puck to get it back. But that's just going to be how it is. And again, the other thing about Carolina as well, and this has been the case for them under Rod Brindamore, their head coach, they play to the margins. Like it's a series of one goal games, and it's just a matter of who gets the last goal. And that's kind of how Carolina plays in the playoffs. And then game one, it was them getting the last goal.
Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN, with us here on the Hoffman Show. The other, like, I guess, generic sports talk question would be, sports talk conversation would be like, okay, well, is there a way where the Capitals can dictate on their end of it? Like, the Capitals are the number one seed here, and I know that a bunch of teams have made trades. Carolina made a ton of them, so, if you look at post-trade deadline and the records and the whole deal, but Washington's the number one seed. They have been one of the best teams in the NHL the entire season. Is there a world where Washington can dictate play and get Carolina off their game, and how would they go about doing that?
First of all, if this was the sports talk radio view of the series, it would be, what does it mean for LeBron?
That's also secondly, fair. That's
yeah. also fair. Secondly, that's a great question. I mean, the seeding indicates that the Capitals had a better regular season. I think the Hurricanes are kind of up and down. Obviously, you nodded at it, the idea that their season was kind of a quirky one, with them acquiring Mikko Rantanen from Colorado in a huge blockbuster trade and then turning around and trading him to Dallas after it became apparent he didn't want to sign there. So they had kind of a disruption in their season a little bit, but and which is why I think they finished where they finished in the East. But listen, they're going to be able to do this. They're going to be able to possess the puck. They're going to be able to get their shot attempts. It's the way they play. It's very effective. The two things that the Capitals have to focus on in game two, like I said, one, breaking the puck out from that forecheck, alleviating the pressure, not allowing Carolina to get that third or fourth chance when they're cycling in your zone. And the other thing, too, is, you know, they've got to take advantage of their power play opportunities. The Capitals are playing a team that was number one in the regular season on the penalty kill. They were perfect, I think 14 of 14 or 15 of 15 against the Devils in the first round. But the Capitals in the regular season got four goals on 13 attempts against Carolina on the power play. And traditionally, over the last three seasons, has been one of the top five teams against that penalty kill, which is usually one of the best in the league. So they certainly have to take advantages when they do get the man advantage, because, again, the scoring in this series is not going to be plentiful on either side.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN with us here on the Hoffman Show. You know, obviously getting some goals from Ovechkin, that's going to have to be necessary. He's their best offensive player still 20 years into this. But one of the guys who had one of the best opportunities last night was Ryan Leonard, their youngster. Is it fair to say that he needs, like, is it fair, not just for, like, us to, you know, sports talk radio it up, Greg, to be like, ah, this guy needs to. It's like, or what? I don't have any control over his future, his job, his anything. But internally for the Capitals, like, is it fair for Carberry to go like, hey, man, like, I know you've been here for 5 minutes, but, like, we need you to convert the kinds of opportunities that he got when he got pushed wide last night on that breakaway?
Yeah, I think it's just icing on the cake with Leonard at this point. I mean, it's an invaluable experience to have him on a team that makes the playoffs. He's going to be better for it. They know what they have with this kid. He's incredibly talented. If anything, you do expect him to rise to the occasion, because that's sort of been his MO in the college postseason, obviously playing for Team USA at World Juniors, where he really landed on everybody's radar. Like, you expect him to show up in these big moments, and that's why I think there might be an expectation that he could be an X factor in this series. As far as Ovechkin goes, I think the Caps would settle for more than one shot in a game. I mean, like, first time in the playoffs this season, he was limited to one shot on goal, and they really held him in check last night in ways that we haven't seen Ovi held in check.
If you're looking at what Carberry's got on the whiteboard for game two, some kind of adjustment, something, what, like, obviously the first 10 minutes of game one went really poorly for the Caps. They were outshot like crazy, and for a lot of that, you know, continued throughout the game. What's the thing you're looking for early in game two that folks that are watching can look for to be like, oh, okay, here's a way that this game could go differently and the Caps can turn this series?
I don't know. To hear Carberry talk about it, it probably won't be like a whiteboard. It might be like an IMAX screen with the amount of things that he was upset about after game one. I mean, he basically said outside Logan Thompson played, and once again, easily the Caps MVP in that game, you know, there was like 20 different things that he wasn't happy about in game one. And that's to say that when you're playing a team like Carolina, you have to get your details right. And, you know, they end up tying the game on a ill-advised pass inside the Caps own zone that, you know, Protas obviously felt really bad about after the game. And you know, that's the kind of thing Carberry is going to talk about, is that you've got to be on your details. When you get a lead against this Carolina team, if you can get up 2-0 against them, you might knock them out because of just how limited their offense can be. And then you simply can't gift them things. You can't give them those opportunities to try to put one past Thompson, because if you're on your details, like the Capitals usually are, they're a very tough team to beat.
Greg Wyshynski writing about all of this at ESPN.com. You can also watch the games with Sean McDonough and friends on ESPN TV as well. Greg, great to have you, and hopefully the Caps can turn this thing around and we can have you back later on in the playoffs.
I will be there for game two. Very excited about it. That place, hopefully I get the Capital One Arena that's filled with joy and cheers rather than the one that has the creeping tension of 15 years of playoff disappointments that I've also experienced in my time covering the Caps.
we don't need to talk about that today, Greg. But if you need like a restaurant recommendation or two while you're in town, let me know. I got some places for you. Greg, appreciate you. Thank you.
let it be known the Irish Channel will be seeing me after the game. That much
very
I can
well
tell
then.
You.
Very well then. All right. Have fun, sir. We'll see you. That's Greg Wyshynski with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, Anthony and I took a field trip today. We'll tell you all about it. But first, the latest on the world, or from the world, in women's sports. It's presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want at Wawa with customizable roasted or crispy chicken sandwiches. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. We'll take a look at the night's action in the NBA coming up at 6:30. Anthony, what were you? Why are you smiling so hard playing that song?
Because that was one of the songs that the kids at the event we went to earlier today were pumped to hear.
So Anthony and I went to the Mystics one and only Mystics preseason home game today. Their preseason is over. They played two games. They played against Indiana without Caitlin Clark over the weekend, and then they played Atlanta this morning. And Atlanta, ironically, is the team that will go back to Atlanta and then come back on the 16th next Friday, where we'll be broadcasting live ahead of the regular season opener at Care First Arena, the new name for entertainment and sports arena, Care First, MedStar, the whole deal, whatever. Or it's not MedStar, but Care First is the new sponsor. But so we were out there, got hooked up with some very nice seats. Appreciate the fine folks who did that for us. Shout outs to your boy DJ. And so we got to take in a couple of different things. One, there's a couple of different schools there that did like field trip style. It wasn't a full on camp day when they go to Capital One and there's thousands and thousands of kids, just probably, you know, 100, 200 kids there. And definitely certain songs that clearly are very popular on TikTok that have kids just scream singing them. And it's really funny when kids scream sing a song because their voices are very, very high. And so it's like there was one, Anthony, before you got there, Fiend by Travis Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, Fiend, Fiend. And like their voices are way up here. And it's just a chorus of 100 kids screaming. It's just,
yeah,
one of a kind. But there was energy in the place for a preseason game at 11:30 a.m. Sure, the players appreciated that.
Hey, the DJ definitely understood the crowd.
DJ Heat is the best.
Yeah.
Like, she's an actual... Did I ever tell you the story of when Jeff Walker met DJ Heat?
Uh-uh.
So, DJ Heat, who's the DJ for the Mystics and the Wizards, and also is like... She literally does events around the world. Like, we are very lucky to have her as the in-arena DJ, if you care about such things, at Wizards and Mystics games. She went to, I don't remember the schools, but like one of the Maryland schools, right? Because I'm trying to remember where Jeff went and where she went. One of them went to Bowie State. Maybe they both went to Bowie State.
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me if they did.
And so I think that's right. And DJ Heat's like 2 years older than Jeff. And as folks who listen to JP and B. Mitch's show know, like Jeff is also a DJ and is big in that scene. And apparently, like, going back to college when they both started, like, she was already a legend, like, of the culture in the DJ, like, house party, whatever world. And so Jeff was with me working an event. It might have been the Mystics game, like, last game of the season last year when they were at Cap 1 and Caitlin was there and they set the record for most. Or no, because that game we just went to. I don't remember. It was one of the Mystics games, I think, late last season. And she pops by the table. It's like she's just walking wherever. And I say, what's up? Because we've messaged back and forth on Instagram before. Like, we know each other. And Jeff is like, oh, my God, that's DJ Heat. And I'm like, yeah, she's mad dope. Like, you knew, just stand here. Like, but he was legitimately, like, starstruck. And Jeff Walker doesn't get starstruck. Jeff Walker is one of the most confident people that any of us have ever met in our entire lives.
Yeah, he is.
Jeff Walker will do whatever he pleases at any point without much consequence for anybody else. And he was just like, oh my God, that's, like, he's like, bro, you don't understand. I was like, no, she's like, I get it. He's like, no, you don't, like, you do not understand. And I was like, okay.
That was pretty dope though.
Yeah.
Pretty dope.
Got to see a different side of Jeff Walker.
Yeah.
Side I didn't know existed. A side that had humility. I really hope JP's listening right now. He's a frequent listener.
Jeff meeting a hero?
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah, Jeff meeting his hero. But anyway, yeah, DJ Heat understood the assignment. Sonya Citron's teammates did not understand the assignment. Anthony, do we have the soundbite of the post game? Did we ever find that?
No, I haven't been able to get that. Real Things is loaded, but I have not gotten that soundbite just yet.
In a clip that will undoubtedly make its way to your Instagram feed because it's on every social, like any sports social, the ESPNs, the Bleacher Reports, whatever, Brittany Griner caught Sonya Citron with a screen that just sent Sonya into next week. And luckily, she's fine. She got up. She definitely, like, if this was a cartoon, there were Tweety Birds just going around, flying around her head. BG, like, it's one of those, when you set a screen like that, Anthony, you ever set a screen like that in your life? You ever set a bone-crushing screen?
Nah.
Not really in your repertoire?
Nah, it looked like a blindside hit. That's what it looked like.
And, like, she leaned into it, I guess, enough, or it was, like, close enough to the sideline. We were real close, so we could hear their conversation with the ref and the Atlanta coach. And the Atlanta coach was like, she's staying still, but I guess it wasn't set in time, or it was set too close to the sideline in a way that Sonya did not have an escape route, and that was, like, you have to give them a step, even if you're technically set by the time they run into you. You need to give them an extra second to be able to go around you, and I guess that was what happened. But also, some teammates got to yell out screen. And frankly, for a preseason game, if I'm BG, I might step aside and just be like, I just know in the regular season, you would have died. In the preseason, because there's a point, like, especially if you're playing pickup and you see, like, you're just going to set a get-in-the-way screen, and you realize, oh, this is about to hurt them. They don't see me. You just kind of catch them. Be like, hey, oh, we're playing pickup. I'm not out to murder you. That's bad form. And instead, they just were, this isn't pickup. This is the league. This is the pros. And poor Sonya Citron, number 3 pick in the WNBA draft. I texted someone in the Mystics org, and I go, I guess I'll never have to ask Sony what her welcome to the WNBA moment is, because that was it.
Yeah, it definitely was, man. That was brutal.
You've been brutal. Hit by a screen like that? I feel
not,
like you probably...
She was moving pretty fast, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, I've been screened hard, but I've never
Because you
been...
like to pick up full court and be just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, I did used to do that, but... I never got hit like that. I will keep my head on the swivel just because I would know there are a lot of guys bigger than me out there. So, yeah. Or my teammates will communicate to me, screen left, screen right. Like,
yeah,
something.
Someone. I mean, the worst part about that, too, is, like, it happened right in front of the Mystics bench.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, somebody, Sydney, coach, Sony, screen. Sony, stop! Sony, no! You now have Tweety Birds flying in circles around your noggin. Mystics ultimately, they got down big early in this game. Unfortunately, it looks like Jordan Canada, the guard for Atlanta, went down with what would appear to be a very serious knee injury. And then the rest of the first quarter, there, like, wasn't really a break. Mystics got caught with a lot of their, you know, frankly, players that might not make the team on the floor. Atlanta opened a big lead, about a 20-point lead in the first quarter. Ultimately, Washington closed it to 10 by the end. Some of their players played, you know, really well. I thought Citron, all in all, played very, very well. Kiki Iriafin had 12 points. They didn't have anybody who could get her the ball. If they had, they would have probably been closer than 10. But, you know, we'll see. Cuts are coming. It's always a tough time in the W, seeing draftees who had the best moment of their lives a couple weeks ago already getting cut here just a couple weeks later. We'll let you know in the trending updates and other places, you know, as if anything comes down on that. But Mystics season opener, May 16th. Well, the show will be there. Anthony, you going to come over? Because you won't be there for the show. You going to come over after?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we'll see you there on May 16th over in Anacostia. When we get back to the NBA, where tonight Celtics and Knicks have game 2, we'll preview that and the other game tonight as well next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We have a loaded up Buddy Hield and Jimmy Butler only, real things, real people said in real microphones, coming up at 6:45. That's when our show's last segment is, Anthony.
I think so.
Yeah, I've only been doing this show for almost, this will be the end of year three.
Yes, sir.
So I guess June/July 1st is like our fourth birthday, if you will. Because the first one, year one, you complete year one, then you complete year two, you complete year three.
It's three, correct?
We complete year three, which means we turn four and we start our fourth year. That's how birthdays work.
Craig, you know when you have your birthday, you don't start off at one.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So this is going to be three.
But we've had three already. We started the show in 20... Oh, no, we started the show in 2022?
Yes, sir.
Oh, see, conceptually, I was correct. I misremembered the year we started the show.
Oh. I was like, I think we've done three years in June.
Because our current planning Google sheet is Hoffman Show year three. So it's like, oh, we're completing year three. No. This is, yeah. 2022, we started.
Yep.
2023, we turned one.
Yep.
Wait, hold on. I shouldn't. 2022, we started.
Yes.
Zero fingers are now up. I for the radio audience, I had a finger up. 2022, we started. That's zero. 2023, yes. We turned one. 2024, we turned two. And then we'll turn three in 2025.
I'm proud of you, Craig. Year.
Yeah, because we started the show in 2022. The point is that the Knicks and Celtics play tonight. And the Nuggets and Thunder play after. What was I even saying?
I don't know, man. You tell me. You tell me.
I got nothing.
Oh, we were talking about real things being at 6:45 and that you should know
right.
That because it's the third year you've...
Although in the first year of the show, which I clearly don't remember very well, we did go to 6 o'clock. The show started as a 3-6 program.
Yep.
Which
do you know when we pivoted to 4-7?
It wasn't long in. It was like by the time football season started, wasn't it? Or was it a full year later?
I don't know.
You asked that question like you know it, or you knew the answer.
No, I didn't know. I want to say it was the following year, though. That would be my guess.
We went
to 2023. That would be my guess.
Why does 2023 feel so long ago?
It does.
By the way, speaking of not knowing dates. Bro, we were talking about the draft stuff earlier in the week, and I was like, the 2023 draft in Detroit, and you know, the one they took, that was 2024, because it's 2025. I just don't know what year it is clearly the message here.
Wow.
Yeah. The theme that's connecting everything.
Yeah. I gotta get that figured out.
Do we? Or we just keep making it up?
I mean,
I don't know
too.
What I'm doing.
Hey, look, whatever floats your boat.
My boat appears to be sinking. Seems to be taking on some water. All right. The Celtics and Knicks play tonight. The Knicks stole game one. Celtics had this thing in the bag, and then they just absolutely blew it. To me, this is the series. Like, Nuggets and Thunder, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Obviously, Cavs, Pacers. Part of it's injury, but like, okay. The Cavs have already won two. The Pacers have won two. The Cavs now need to win four of five games. The Minnesota Golden State series is a 6-7 matchup, so that one is kind of in its own category. But of these top seeds that are in trouble, the Celtics are the one that I am worried the least about, Anthony, because there is no way on God's green earth they are missing 45 threes again. It wasn't like the Knicks played that exceptional defensively. Like, they're good because they're always good. They challenge guys. They make you take tough shots. They make you throw up some grenades late in the shot clock. I get it. But I do not think that the Celtics, either just on a pure percentage standpoint or on a tactical standpoint, are going to go 15 of 60 from three. I tend to think that if they start missing at that kind of clip, that Joe Mazzulla will be like, hey guys, maybe let's attack the basket a little bit more. Let's maybe not take a zillion threes. And they still, even though they missed 45 threes, needed to blow a 20-point lead, and they lost by three in overtime. I think the Celtics are going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree as well. And I think a lot of the loss really came down to them settling. Just like we saw Anthony Edwards yesterday, he settled in the first half, and then in the second half, he just got downhill. Jason Tatum, and mind you, like, this is the Celtics game. Spam a lot of threes, like, get them up. Like, this is what they do. But at some point, you know, you don't have to take 45, or you don't have to miss 45
threes. They missed
threes.
45. Yeah. Taking 45 is, like, not crazy in the modern NBA. Hold on one second. NBA.com stats.
I think that is crazy.
I'm not gonna I mean, lie. It's still a lot, but I'm like, it happens every night in the league. My question is, teams, leaders, official leaders, team leaders, can I get a teams home? Come on. Oh, my God. Why is the NBA stats site being an absolute menace? Mm. Not the time. Not the time, Anthony.
No. Time is money.
No. And we're losing it. Let's see. Okay. Points per game, blocks per game. Dun, 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 dun. We want three. Sure. Three pointers made. I need... we need the regular season. I'm just trying to get it to the sortable stats, man. per game, 3 points attempted. So the Celtics were the only team in the NBA that attempted more than 45 a game. They attempted 48.2 per game. Golden State was second at 42.4. Chicago attempted 42, 41.5. The Wizards, by the way, were ninth at 39.1.
Where were the Thunder?
The Thunder... were, you know, the team that was last? The Denver Nuggets.
Mm.
The Thunder were 10th, right behind the Wizards.
Oh, okay.
They were 38.8 threes.
Yeah, they
per
got
game.
Them up.
So yeah, the Celtics take a lot of threes. 60 is an abnormal amount.
Yeah.
And I don't think the strategy from Tom Thibodeau is going to be, hey, this team that wants to take a bunch of threes, let them take three. So it by nature, that means you are forcing some of them. And at some point, you have to adjust and be like, all right, we're going to take what the defense gives us. Also, they hit, you know, they hit at 25% in this game. They hit even 35%, where on the season, they hit closer to 37%. Then they're obviously winning that game going away. So
yeah,
that is that. The problem for the Thunder is, Nikola Jokic is still the best player in the series.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he's going to go for 42 and 22 and 6 every single night, but he also might go for 35 and 18. And yes, if that's the case, the Nuggets only won by 2 on that late Aaron Gordon winner. But by the same token, like, I don't know how much adjusting there is to do if you are the Oklahoma City Thunder, because Nikola Jokic is just that good. Like, you got to hope that he does not go shoot as efficiently, get to the free throw line as much, and be as thoroughly dominant as he was.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say gang rebound. I'm not sure if you saw Jalen Williams in the post-game pressure after game one where they were talking about, you know, them getting out rebounding. He was like,
grab the basketball.
Yeah, we got to do this thing where we see the ball, we go with two hands, we use our two hands, we squeeze the ball, we land on 2 feet, and then we get our elbows out. So I think they understand.
The Torian Prince?
Yeah. I think they understand what they got to do. Gang rebound, and they're more than capable. Jokic is going to kill them. Like, I think they just have to accept that. But also just they got to control what they can control. And rebounding and things of that nature is definitely in their control.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the late game tonight, 9:30, 7:30. The early game starts between the Knicks and Celtics. Up in Boston. When we get back, last night, one of the funniest post-game pressers we've seen in a while, Jimmy Butler and Buddy Hield. Oh, man. It's what Real Things was made for. Real Things, Real People Said in Real Microphones is next. Tomorrow on the show, we have for you Never Read the Comments. I feel like there's also something else tomorrow. Anthony, what else we got locked in for the Thursday edition of the show? Nothing?
I think that's it.
Oh. There's definitely other stuff. I mean, we'll talk about the NBA games tonight. I really thought we had something. The McShay interview is great. Let's just play that on repeat for the whole day, except for Never Read the Comments.
Okay.
If If you missed it, go check it out. Todd McShay joined us at 4:30. It's up in the podcast. Just search The Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcast. I'm not wasting any more time. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Real things.
We're not going to be sunk this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, last night, the Golden State Warriors beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you've been paying attention to that series, and specifically to the Warriors over the last couple of weeks, Jimmy Butler and Buddy Hield have a ton of just like ongoing bickering. Jimmy's yelling at Buddy in the locker room. It's a big brother, little brother kind of relationship. And they were at the podium together last night, and chaos happened beautifully. The thing is, to start the game last night, Buddy Hield was wearing the wrong shorts. The Warriors got a delay of game penalty, and Buddy had to go change his shorts. Something I have not seen in the NBA for a long time, Anthony. And, of course, Buddy blamed Jimmy.
Buddy, what happened with the wardrobe malfunction?
Jimmy switched it out. That's it was Jimmy's fault.
Okay.
Jimmy switched it out, and that's what happens. I was looking for my shorts, and I thought it was the right one. He said, yo, put these on. It was the right. And that was the...
That's what you're going with?
Yeah, I'm going
with
Jimmy. It was Jimmy's fault. His locker is next to my locker. I was looking for my shorts. He says, yo, I can't find my shorts. Oh, I see there. And I put them on. It looked just alike. And after that, got a fine for it. So it's cool. It was Jimmy's fault. Blame Jimmy.
Jim, I mean, obviously, you know there's always so much responsibility on you. But when you see Steph go down.
Responsibility in the shorts, too. Like I'm telling you, a lot of responsibility on him. He's not doing his job.
I mean, just no personal accountability for Buddy Hield.
That was funny.
Also, I do have a question, though. Warriors equipment staff, why does Buddy have the wrong shorts in his locker to put on to begin with? Don't they hang the uniform? Is there like a warm-up pair and a regular pair, and Buddy did the wrong thing?
It appeared so.
I guess so. Of course, their bickering was not limited to pregame shenanigans involving their wardrobes. No. Let's get into the on-court as well.
Draymond mentioned that you two guys were kind of going back and forth in the huddle even. Do you feed off? I mean, we've seen you guys go back and forth. You're doing it right now.
Asking why we're going back and forth.
Why were you going back and forth?
Because when I'm not going to say exactly what I say in the locker room, but when I got a mismatch in the post, don't cut. Stay on the perimeter.
If you got a mismatch, you ain't going to score the ball.
I am going to score the ball. I can't score the ball when you cut into my space. You're a shooter. You're not even a cutter.
Bro, you seen it score
you
the ball.
Saw what happened when you shot a layup in the first quarter? Smokey Robinson, that's exactly what you did.
I will say, Anthony, as someone who has operated as a post player at times in my prodigious pickup basketball career, I hate when dudes cut. When I finally got the thing that I've wanted all day. If I got the little guy, and I'm just going to like bump him under the basket, turn around, and make a layup without leaving my feet. Don't bring your guy to me. Play with way too many Buddy Hields is what I'm telling you.
No, I'm the same way. I hate when I finally get my ISO and somebody cuts right to the paint. Because I like,
or like
to
you get
the
mismatch
basket.
You want. And then like for you as a guy who plays more on the perimeter. Like, then he comes, sets a screen. No, don't bring a second defender.
Yeah, like,
this is what
man.
I've been dreaming of. So annoying. Of course, Steph goes down last night. And that leads to the whole who's Batman, who's Robin type deal, which went about exactly as you would have expected.
Draymond declared that tonight Jimmy became Batman and Buddy went from Alfred to Robin. Do you guys have any comments on that declaration?
No.
I'll start out.
No. I'm Batman today. I saved the day. He's still Robin.
All right. Well, I'm still Robin, yes. And Steph's still Batman. And Buttered is still who he is.
I mean, Buttered.
It's okay. But he had another good game, man.
Buttered.
Buttered.
Yep.
There's another point where he calls him Butter in there, and Jim, and Buddy Hield just goes, my name's Buddy. Clearly he hates it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about nicknames, Anthony. If you hate it, the surefire way to get people to stop calling you it is by telling them how much you hate it.
Yeah.
Never's going to work. Last but not least, just a closing final thought from the bickering duo that is Jimmy Butler and Buddy Hield.
Gary compared you to bickering brothers, and you're the little annoying brother, and you're the older brother.
And what Gary is?
I don't know. Maybe he's the middle brother.
The clumsy one. They're always doing the dumbest stuff ever.
You literally wore the wrong shorts. The audacity.
Reality check for Sir Buddy.
That, Anthony, sometimes you're Buddy Hield.
Really?
That your ability to walk into a joke and not see that you're walking into a joke,
yeah,
is kind of like Sonya Citron and that screen for Brittany Griner today.
Oh my gosh.
You just full speed right into it. I'm just like, he doesn't see it coming. He doesn't see it coming.
Nope.
Bang. But thankfully, you're not annoying in all the ways that Buddy seems to be very annoying. Yeah, you seem to be able to put the proper pants on. Your style's excellent. That was boldly stupid from Buddy Hield.
Yeah. Just,
you're really going to call Gary Payton the clumsy one who doesn't get anything right on the day that you, a professional basketball player, put on the wrong shorts? That's Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones. Never read the comments and more tomorrow on the Team 980.